I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Give birth to a rubber hand, Mark.
Give birth to a rubber hand, Pete.
I will, because I am Pete Donaldson, Sexual Chocolate.
Great joke, great joke.
Great, what a great joke. Great joke.
Man, Mark Hemming must have looked at that and just sort of gone, sort of like a cheese dream, my career. That sort of weird, weird old thing.
It doesn't make any sense.
He's talked about how much fun he had doing that as well, yeah. How he looks back on it and you just you get the impression that he's sort of like, once he gets over the idea of going, is this some kind of joke on me? And you just go, no, it's absolutely just garbage. It's like, oh, lovely, great. Thank you very much. I had a wonderful time. WrestleMania 22.
We are back in Chicago.
Yes.
Where the big feet statues are.
Yeah.
And also Mr. Atlas.
Yes, a famous wrestling town, Chicago. Always, great hot crowd.
Cool.
Great hot crowd as well. They come alive during this WrestleMania.
RambleLive.com. November the 6th, Chicago.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. The thing is, they boo the bad guys.
The normal.
Yeah. So all four of you will be being cheered. I would, I think if you were going to see wrestling in various cities, if you had a choice, I think, Chicago is a great one.
Well,
to
this
do.
Crowd is so into it.
So into it and entirely autonomous from what the WWE want them to do.
Right.
So you see it with the Mickey James thing. They are like, we love Mickey James. And you begin to get Vince having to say to the commentators, you've got to mention that, in the WWE, you're free to pick who you're going to cheer and boo,
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I know, mate.
What? I'm in my pants in my living room.
Yeah,
I know what I want.
Yeah, if I want to cheer for Mickey James, that is the least of our worries, Oh dear.
Oh wow.
So we've reached up to the sort of high level, high end of the card.
Yes.
We're going to crack into a match now, which I found really hard to watch.
It was longer than it needed to be.
Yeah.
But it had enough that kept it had enough there for me. I must admit, I quite enjoyed this one.
It's Shawn Michaels versus Vince McMahon in a no holds barred match.
Yes.
I think the thing for me about this match is it's one of those matches you see once. And you never really have any desire to go back and see it again.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, there's the little bits and bobs you sort of go ha ha ha.
Yeah.
But the actual, yeah, you don't want to see it.
But there's a really funny little setup they do to this match, which is Shawn Michaels really early on basically has to come out and go, don't be expecting to see something good here. He has to say, I know you're used to seeing him in the 5-star matches. Well, this is going to be entirely different. He says, I'm not bringing the Shawn Michaels of last year's WrestleMania or the year before. And he sort of goes, I'm just doing something different. He really sort of like fumbles it. But he has to basically set you up to say, I am going to be doing something that's not very good. And the limitations of working with Vince McMahon, who is 60, in a sort of hardcore match. And the hardcore match is a helper if you can't go out there and wrestle for 35 minutes in the clinic. But I hadn't seen it really since probably, maybe the year after it came out. I'd watched it back on DVD at some point. But I just, when it was on, I was like, I am losing the will to live in. Spirit Squad rush out. And
yeah.
They,
what are the Spirit Squad? Because I don't recall seeing them earlier in the card.
No,
so
it's
nothing to me.
They were a slightly failed attempt to bring up 5 young, good wrestlers from developmental at the same time.
Yeah.
But they lumbered them with this fucking, Spirit Squad
kind of,
cheerleader gimmick. Which, again, is the epitome of, go away heat. No one is going to buy a ticket to see these people main event.
Yeah.
And they did main event. They main evented for ages against, Shawn Michaels and Triple H in handicap matches. And I mean, there were a couple of people within Spirit Squad who would have longer careers, one of whom is Nick Nemeth, who later was known as Dolph Ziggler, who we'll see in later ones. We became a genuine star. But the others, even though they had a lot of, you know, real potential, especially a guy called, I think Kenny Doan. I think that's right. But he was incredibly young and everyone thought he was going to be the next star. Mm. And this sort of just killed them, you know. They couldn't get over it. And they run out and they do a sort of like, you know, melee, and then you get Vince, you know, doing his weapons stuff. And I mean, it was impossible not to think that, we mentioned in an earlier episode, but Eddie Guerrero versus Shawn Michaels would have been on this WrestleMania had Shawn Michaels not died. And watching this match, I mean, the number of people they could have put Michaels against. Mm. You know, we could have had Michaels versus Benoit one-on-one. You know, pretty much anyone that you care to take off. Yeah. You know, even, you know, Michaels versus, you know, Kane. It would have been
something
better. But this was a sort of, you know, a big Vince McMahon is on WrestleMania now. And Mark, Vince always has to have a match.
Mark, Shane gets his face put in his dad's bum.
I know.
So you can forget your wrestling. A man's son gets his face jammed into his dad's befonged arse.
Do you think there is anyone who, outside of something traumatic, has had their face pressed up against their dad's ass?
Yeah.
Without it being a thing where they're going, get off!
Right, okay. What, inadvertently fall into your dad's naked ass? Like,
but even that is something going wrong. I just can't see this being replicated in any... Like your dad saying, I'll give you 20 quid to stick your face in my bum.
Again, that just sounds abuse.
Right,
that's
okay.
20 quid.
But don't worry, there'll be 20,000 people watching... And I've already run it past Mum. You've done what? Are you all right? No. I'm a billionaire now. The Kiss My Ass Club, the whole thing about this has been running for a while. And it was a Vince McMahon thing where he was despotic and he was basically saying, if you don't join my Kiss My Ass Club, you're fired.
Right.
And so Jim Ross had to do it and William Regal did it, I think, quite willingly. But I was thinking about this and thinking, yeah, this works on two levels, this. One is going, it's a storyline thing we do in wrestling.
Yeah.
But the other is, yes, you are my boss. And you are telling me I have to kiss your ass.
Yeah,
and if
for
I,
money.
Can I say no? I go, well, you'd ruin everything. I mean, I'd be very upset with you. This is literally the thing we're doing on television, but it's real. I mean, it'd be like, there is no difference between your boss at Absolute saying, Pete, we're going to do a thing on air where you kiss my bum. And you go, right, okay, I mean, that's not happening. And he goes, you're fired.
Yeah.
And Vince McMahon going, you're going to come to WrestleMania and kiss my ass. And you go, what? And he goes, Paul, I'll fire you.
Paul is a big fan of wrestling. So.
Is he?
He is, yeah.
I mean, if he did that, even if he was saying, oh, no, it is just a sort of on-air thing. It's not real.
Yeah.
You'd still go, mate,
it's still your bum.
And you're still losing your job. Even if you think it's like there's a thin gossamer between the real and the fake, there's no. And this is perfectly an example of that.
At best, it's a Dr. Fox situation.
No one's ever said the words at best and Dr. Fox, but there we go. It's just weird.
It's a long match, but I think it's 20 minutes where the commentators don't have Vince McMahon in their ears.
No.
So they're probably having a lovely time.
Absolutely.
Best bit of WrestleMania for them, because they don't have a man going, rah, say something about this.
Yeah, in fact, Jerry Lawler recently, he did a podcast. wasn't this one. And he did a podcast where he said that he doesn't actually look forward to doing commentary because Vince is in his thing. And he is currently the commentator. You know, he's got to the point now where he genuinely gives no fucks. Not just about ages, but about his job. I mean, he obviously is a real, real nightmare.
Well, he probably, exactly. And he probably just sort of makes a fairly decent bet that Vince McMahon's too old for podcasts and probably got better things to do.
Yes. I know. Only losers listen to podcasts.
But, Shawn Michaels comes out wearing it looks like a gaming PC.
Yeah.
You know, like gaming PCs, because they're black and leathery and they've got LEDs in them.
Yeah.
He looks like that.
He looks also, it's worth mentioning that at this point when they've got the games, which are going to get SmackDown versus Raw in 2006.
This is like an alternative costume for him.
It made it so good that people had recognisable costumes like this.
Right.
Because their avatars looked astonishingly good. Really, really good.
McMahon, his body doesn't really connect with his head at all.
No.
He looks like a big bobblehead.
Nope, he is absolutely on the juice. He is gassed up like you wouldn't believe. And when he comes out, he's basically sort of It's a wink, wink, nudge, nudge thing, isn't it? Where he's so over the top, you know he's not worked for it. And that's partly feeding into his glee at going, beat the system! Beat the system!
I do like it when Shawn Michaels puts his own Men's Health, whatever the fucking cover, Muscle Man Weekly cover.
Muscle and Fitness.
Muscle and Fitness, his cover, and his head comes out roughly about the same.
It is good, that.
And he looks all dazed. I like that bit.
And Vince is, I mean, you know, he is incredible. I think he is 60 in this match, and his facials are brilliant, and his facials are unlike anyone else's, in that if you're in the back row of that arena, you would be able to see what was happening, because he's so over the top. If it was any other wrestler, I'm sure Vince would be backstage going, you look like a moron out there. You made our business look stupid, you know. But when it's him doing it, you're like, oh yeah, more of this, please. He is great. I think the problem for me with this match is you are wasting one of the great talents of this period.
Yeah.
Normally, Vince McMahon is doing his no holds barred matches have been against Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan, and that's been a sense of they're older people, so you need to hide limitations.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels does not need limitations hidden.
Right.
So you shouldn't be going up against him. You should be going against someone who you need to do this match, because that's the way you get through it.
But he jumps off a ladder into a bin though, Mark.
He does.
Come on.
That's supposed to be the hardest thing, is taking a move when you're in a bin.
Because you don't know
when it's coming. You can't tense at the right time. But there is something funny if you were Shawn Michaels as well. Once you get to the end of that, you just go, I mean, you know, we've had our history, Vince and I. I'm just going to put my elbow through his nose. He comes down on it like a ton of bricks. And from a huge height up.
Massive, yeah.
I mean, it just...
I mean, even for Shawn Michaels, he's no spring chicken.
No. I mean, I look at that and
spring
honestly,
chicken's in the bin, because honestly, he looks like chicken.
If I'm 60 and something falls on me from that height, or I fall that height, that is the last thing that happens,
yeah,
isn't
I've
it?
I've done that.
You know?
You know, when you sort of hurt yourself, you go, that was harder than... It was the last time something like this happened. I remember falling down some stairs in Japan and going, oh, yeah, that was higher, quicker, and more of an impact than I'm comfortable with.
It's sharper. And things are bleeding slower, weirdly.
What a rush.
Nice bit with Vince as he goes out where he just gives the finger, which annoyingly then led to the feud continuing.
Right.
It should have ended there and then, but they just didn't seem to have the talent in the right place. And Vince, I think, sometimes steps in to go, this is what's right for business. he's probably right. One of the things this match also does is it has a knock-on effect, so it overruns. And so there is the next match, which is Rey Mysterio, Kurt Angle and Randy Orton, where Rey Mysterio is attempting to win the world championship in the memory of Eddie Guerrero, gets cut from 19 minutes to 9.
Jeez, really? They lose that?
He's stuck between Vince McMahon and Triple H.
Yeah.
And Triple H would be like, no, I've got to do my plus 20. You know how it works. Vince, who's going to tell Vince off for going over on that shit show we've just seen? So you get three of the best talents, you know, in the ring, and they literally have their time halved. Yeah, you can still do your memorial, you still run, but come on, rattle through. So here you get a big thing. Now, Vince McMahon also, so post Eddie Guerrero's death, they have naturally the other person who he's most associated with through his career, fellow Mexican-American Rey Mysterio. And Rey Mysterio is basically, he is the greatest small man in the business. Mm. Vince McMahon is not a fan of small men. And so they had to argue everybody in the company against Vince that Rey Mysterio should win the belt in Eddie's memory.
Right, yeah.
Vince McMahon just was not convinced. Mm. They had to convince him. It seems like the easiest bit of booking you'd ever have in your life.
Yeah, because they were friends and, you know, that this is the... You know.
And they're from the same damn place, you know? So there was a sense of they always need a big Spanish-American star, because America has got a lot of Hispanic people in it. So you want to give those people a superhero that they can get behind. And for some reason, Vince McMahon just never saw it with Rey Mysterio.
And like you see it in this match, he's fucking brilliant.
He's astonishing. He's incredible. What happens is when he does get the belt, Vince McMahon decides to book him as bad as a champion's ever been booked, so it looks terrible, and then they take the belt off him.
Right.
I mean, it's just crazy. But for this one moment, how you couldn't have seen this was the only thing you could do at this WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It beggars belief. Kurt Angle is excellent in this match as well. Mm. And actually, the Chicago crowd turn on Rey Mysterio because they like Angle so much. And they begin booing Rey Mysterio when he starts doing... There's a lot of booing of Rey Mysterio. We watched ECW One Night Stand, you know, and he uses his 619 and they boo because that's not authentic to ECW. I mean, it just... Poor Rey. And is that hard thing about going, okay, so you didn't like the bit where JBL did the Three Amigos, but when I'm paying tribute to my friend by trying to win this belt, you're like, boo. You would begin to get very, very upset about it.
Yeah, they do, in this match, they do a lot of Eddie Guerrero stuff.
There's a clip as well they show of Randy Orton in a SmackDown saying,
that's right,
you
yeah.
think he's up in heaven? Well, Eddie's down in hell. Mate, he's a real person with a real family. It was a
His
real
wife's
death.
In the house.
I know, it's just crazy. Randy Orton would not have wanted to say that. You know,
no.
In any other business, again, let's go back to Dr. Fox. If Dr. Fox went on to radio, not allowed anymore, but if he went on to radio and he was saying to, I don't know, think of a band where, Queen.
Right.
Right? And he'd gone, Brian, you said that Freddie was in heaven.
In heaven,
but actually, Freddie's in hell. It wouldn't be enough that you went, yeah, I know your boss told you to say it, but we need to find out who your boss is because he needs to be fired.
Yes.
And in this thing, it's just insane.
And you're the mouthpiece. You're going to have to live with those words.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there is a thing about Randy Orton as well where I kind of go, why don't you just say, no, I'm not fucking doing that. I'm not fucking doing that. It's disgraceful. I mean, it's just terrible. Talking of heaven and
I'll
hell.
I'll tell you why, because fucking Randy Orton's a big puss, all right? And I'll knock him out. I'll knock him out like I did that
I love
that
this
morning.
Long, long Beef. Feud. That Randy, has been building and building.
I'm going to PDO him.
They come out singing Booyaka 619.
Yes.
The Rey Mysterio.
Pod. POD.
Oh, did you not say POD?
No, I was saying PD because that's my initials.
Gotcha.
Does he do a Randy? What's his move?
RKO.
I'm going to do a PKD.
PKD.
Sounds like a post office code for package delivery.
Yeah, which is the area code 619 is the area code, I think, for San Diego, which is where Rey Mysterio's from.
Okie dokie.
So they Booyaka 619.
Terrible fucking song.
Oh, let's have
a Christian new metal band to tidy this up. To make the wrestling shorter.
Yes.
In a match that's already been cut.
That's
just do the chorus.
That's insane, isn't it? That is insane. Insane.
And not only that, they make Rey Mysterio come out, appear with these fireworks, which looks fucking amazing.
Yep.
He jumps out of the fucking, out of atoms.
Yeah.
He just appears. It's fucking brilliant. And then the ignominy of having to run back into the corridor he should have come out of, run up what's clearly a lot of scaffolding, get to the top, put a Native American headdress on.
I believe it's Aztec.
Is it Aztec? Yep. Right, okay. A weird kind of like, is it cultural appropriation when you look like a pinata? It doesn't fucking matter. He looked ridiculous. Dance around for a bit and then come out with the same bloody headdress on. It's so weird.
Terrible. Terrible.
So weird.
He only ever wore that as like that WrestleMania outfit.
Burn it.
And it's crap. It's really crap.
Reminds him of the bad times.
When I was looking at merchandise from WrestleMania 22, you can get an action figure of him with
Him with that.
And it's literally just like a scrap of cut out brown felt that they've sort of gone, stick it on his head. Done. POD, Payable on Death.
Yes.
Christian new metal band. Out they come. I did notice one thing I liked. They sold over 12 million records worldwide.
Yeah.
Which doesn't seem that many if you're like doing the Rey Mysterio theme.
I mean, what do you mean? As in, like, it's good for them that they were doing it?
No, it seems like quite a low amount.
As in.
12 million worldwide.
Yeah, but I always knew.
Christian metal.
No, but they transcended with that Alive song. I feel so alive, that one.
Okay.
For the very first time.
No, I don't think it's enough. I think it seems like a small amount of records.
I think it's enough.
I do.
12 million, POD, new metal. They were quite Limp Bizkit-y.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say your friends Limp Bizkit have sold a few more than 12 million records, Peter. My favourite thing, the guitarist left the band in 2003 due to spiritual differences.
Nice. Oh, well, fair play. At least they're still, you know,
still
going on about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not like Evanescence, who started as a Christian rock band
and then
made a bit of money and just sort of...
What about Paramore? Sort of... There's always been something about them that I've found
really?
A little bit weird, like a bit culty.
I like them. Mm. No, I don't know. Well, it's a cult of young girls, which is not ideal for a man.
Maybe that's why I like them.
That's why I'm so intrigued.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Kurt Angle does some amazing stuff in here. He's on an absolute tear since they moved him over to SmackDown. He's right. Become like a wrestling machine. And the Chicago fans just love him. Behind the scenes, he's having problems. He is very, very addicted to painkillers. Mm. So pretty much since he's had his WrestleMania thing where he broke his neck, that's exacerbated the problems he's had with his neck from the Olympics when he wrestled with a broken neck, as he always puts it. I think it's a little bit a broken neck and a, you know, cracked vertebrae or whatever, the similar terminology, but very, very different things.
Neck clearly. Pain is excruciating.
Yeah, and he's going out there every night, and he actually says he begins to develop at this period an overriding paranoia that he is going to die in the ring,
right,
or that his neck will become so bad his career will be over and then everything's over. So he becomes addicted to painkillers, and he's the I've read a couple of big interviews he's done with big things like the New York Times and things like that.
Yeah.
So they're proper sort of things. He started off taking one Vicodin, which is a pain pill, allowing him to go hard and fast until I couldn't go anymore.
Right.
When one wasn't enough, he doubled his dosage. Two became four. Four became eight. Within a year, and this is at this time, Angle was taking 65 pills a day.
Whoa.
He said, the first time I took a painkiller, wow, I felt invincible. I knew right away I liked it and I was going to continue regardless whether it might kill me.
I don't know. I'm never going to have access to these things. Just give me one, see what it feels like. Rattle around.
In his darkest day, he took nearly 2,000 Vicodin pills a month. He received most of them from prescriptions from 12 doctors that didn't know each other who were prescribing him with 12 different prescriptions. He had a map of pharmacies for wherever he was in the country. Yeah. And he would visit each pharmacy once. So he, once he was done with that, he'd cross it off so he didn't get caught. The other 500 pills, which is a quarter of basically what he was taking a month, he would get from drug dealers on the street.
Jeez.
He said, as long as it kept me in the game, that's all that mattered.
Wow.
So in 2005, which is the year before this, he attempted to get himself off the pain pills by himself. And he went into a room in his house. He sat in his bedroom for days, not taking any pills, shaking, and watching the first three Harry Potter movies all night and day long.
Wow.
He said, I was just knee-deep in an addiction. And he began to then become very, very paranoid that he wasn't doing a good job, and he started breaking down. And he had a meeting with Vince, and he just said he couldn't do it anymore. He cried. Vince McMahon basically said, you need to go to rehab. And Kurt said, no, I don't. And Vince McMahon, while Kurt was absolutely one of the top flight wrestlers in the world, he let him go. He just said many years later, Kurt Angle said that Vince had said, they were talking about Kurt Angle, and Chris Jericho had said, Vince McMahon always used to use the line, we can't let an Olympic hero die on our watch.
Right.
They thought it was that bad.
Yeah.
Angle went to TNA, which was the second federation that had come up in the wake of WCW folding. He had a much easier schedule, which helped him. But TNA had a culture of drinking, so Angle began having problems with alcohol.
Oh, bloody hell.
He got four DUI arrests, so driving while intoxicated, over 5 years. He also then had to enter rehab as a result of those arrests.
Right.
And he got himself much better off. It took a long time for the WWE to take him back. He spent years saying, I'd love to have one last run. He'd do it in the press. He said, if they pick up the phone, I'd love to do it tomorrow. If they ask me to be in the Hall of Fame, I'll do it. And it went on for years. He had meetings and they never offered him anything. And it was simply because they just didn't feel like they could have someone like Kurt Angle die under contract. Mm. In the last couple of years, he did finally return, and he seems to be so happy. He's back in the ring, unable to wrestle, you know, like he used to. But then, at the time, no one could wrestle like Kurt Angle used to wrestle.
Yeah.
So he's again managed to just cap off what was, like Bret Hart, a jagged end to a career. Mm. And he's managed to have that almost fairy tale reconciliation with the company that made him. And, you know, I think you see him talk now. He is one of those guys you can tell he spent 15 years in a terrible place.
Yeah.
And now he's back and he couldn't be more grateful. And there's some lovely documentaries about him on the network, WWE Network sort of originals, about him returning for the Hall of Fame.
Lush.
And he just seems like a dude. Mm. I love Kurt Angle. I think he's so good in the ring, and he just seems like the nicest guy. I want to kiss him on his big bald head.
Big baldy nut.
This continued his 100% loss, by the way, in championship matches at WrestleMania. Right. He won all of his non-title matches in WrestleManias until this year.
Okay.
Or last year, where he actually lost a retirement match to Baron Corbin. A very unpopular match. From very unpopular matches to the Playboy pillow fight match.
Jesus.
Candice Michelle and Tori.
Actually, no, not oh Jesus, oh hooray. 5 stars from me. Tori Wilson's little dog is wearing a top hat. So
yes,
that's a fiver for me if I was in the wrestling post and whatever they call it, Wrestling Times.
I mean, this is really the last of the women that WWE used to bring in who could not wrestle.
Right.
There's a case to be made for Eva Marie. I am happy to make that case all day long. But this was really the last two who were cheesecake athletic models who couldn't do a bloody thing, who they kept on putting in the ring. And this is just excruciating. The commentators have a really snide thing of just Jim Ross going, well, this isn't going to be a 5-star classic. This is you're not going to be seeing your Hackenschmidt and Gutch here. And brilliantly, just because I hate that thing of, it's your company.
Yeah.
If you're putting it out there, you can't go, hello, everyone, I know it's me, but this is shit.
Yeah.
It, you know, you can't do
can't
it.
Can't have it both ways, yeah.
Exactly. You know, you kit and caboodle. And the excellent tag team. And I was so pleased when Jim Ross goes, you're not going to see your Hackenschmidt and Gutch here. And Jerry Lawler says, yeah, you're George Hackenschmidt and you're... No, he says, you're Frank Gutch. and you're a Carl Hackenschmidt. He's not called Carl Hackenschmidt King. He's called George Hackenschmidt.
Yes.
So you saying, oh yeah, throwing it out there. What you did, King, is you confused Carl Gotch and Frank Gotch. And when you said Hackenschmidt, you were thinking of Carl Gotch, even though it was Frank Gotch. So you said Frank Gotch, but then you had a Carl left over, didn't you? Yeah.
So I thought, real gotcha.
I thought, yeah, shit off you two. I really thought it.
Get back to doing your usual shtick of your horny man.
Yeah,
shit. Where did the horny man go?
Yeah, oh, I don't think this is very good wrestling. Mate, normally you're out there going, I want to see them knockers, you know. Oh.
The Tori Wilson's little dog wearing a top hat gets jammed into Candice Michelle's face at one point. And we're supposed to be... it's done a bit too violently for a little pop. I didn't like that. But also, are you trying to like freak us out or make us go, oh, that's disgusting? We just saw a man eating worms. Like, that's not going to... Oh, dog breath. A man just ate worms.
It's a very simple. Yeah, just have to remember, you cheer the man eating worms, you boo the beautiful woman having the dog rubbed in her face. So simple. But yeah, it's one of those dogs as well, because it's small.
Yeah.
It has presumably a very prominent anus. And so there is a part of me that I actually go, that's probably the worst move in this entire thing. Because it's rubbing a tiny dog anus on someone. Just, you know. But this is barely a match. What's really funny again is you have a crowd that are just like, this isn't sexy. This isn't fun. This is just, what is this? They all feel ashamed and embarrassed to be there.
If you're a grown man, you're not interested because it's just not. I mean, what isn't? There's not very little titillation there. And if you are a child, you're embarrassed because your parents have taken you there
massively. And you've also got this thing of, I don't know. You've just been watching all this wrestling, and this. I've always said this, but it's sort of slightly important in a weird way to not sexualize wrestling because what it is it's older brothers coming in, going, "Oh, queer. You like your boyfriend, don't you?
Yeah.
What's your boyfriend's name? Brutus Beefcake. That sort of thing. And it's really important to not have that. I suppose their sense is, but when the big brother comes in, he'll sit through 3 hours and he'll see this and he'll be like, I love that bit with the birds. You know, I just get rid of all that shit.
It's just pathetic.
It's wrestling on the marquee, not weak. Like, what was that German channel that used to show soft porn in the 90s when you first got satellite?
There was a few of them.
Yeah, something like DF5 or something. Right. I don't know what it was. I wish it was still going, but I don't know what it is.
Red Shoe Diaries with David Duchovny.
Yeah, exactly like that. Yeah. That. It's not wrestling and the Red Shoe Diaries, you know. But this is so bad. This little vignette.
Was Playboy a brand then? Was it a big deal?
Well, it was, because every time around WrestleMania, they used to get one of the divas to do it. And I think Candice Michelle, she was certainly towards the tail end of them doing it. I think Maria Kanellis was one of the last people to do it. Right. But so there was still the tie-in. And if you're a magazine like Playboy, you get your name in front of all of these people at WrestleMania. You know, it's a great deal for them.
Mm.
The magazines sell... You know, I think their Sable one is one of the best-selling issues in history.
Right.
Because wrestling fans bought it.
Yeah.
They really benefited from that. And I think the WWE, it's hard to know whether they really did benefit. And certainly, when you see these things after these years, you just go, this is sort of shameful.
Why wouldn't you just do like a kind of an angle with somebody... Who's the main fella from Playboy?
Hugh Hefner.
Yeah, Hugh Hefner. Just have an angle with him, or an angle with a... you know, with him, or I don't know, like a Million Dollar Man kind of Playboy kind of character.
Absolutely.
You know, have a character called the fucking Playboy. Do something with that. I don't know.
And instead you get two women who are sort of like, who are they trying to titillate?
and
that's the thing, is you sort of go, you just go out there
know,
and you be
robots.
Sexy and go, well, who, what?
Robots who have, you know, drawings of ladies in their brains. I don't know. It's so weird.
Yeah. Anyway, they basically cut the Eddie... Randy and Kurt Angle that. Match so we could get that in.
Well, very importantly for the little Randys.
I also, there's a Japanese cameraman that I didn't notice throughout the whole of WrestleMania, and the second this match starts, he is right in there. And I was like, Jesus Christ, you know,
we both beat Japan. They know exactly what they want. That's, they know what they need.
I've used up half of my battery on the Mickey James match. And then we get the main event, which is John Cena versus Triple H. John Cena coming in as the champion. Triple H very generously allowing him to leave with the belt at the end. this, again, at the time, this was seen as a really, really good main event.
Right.
People were really, really stoked on it. And I found it a little bit dull.
Yeah, when you sort of read around it, it's kind of like, again, but... some men getting their bums out and, you know, jamming a child's face in their bum. But because otherwise, I was just like, there wasn't really any... Because we'd seen matches that were slightly underwhelming, but they had bits where, you know, a 50-odd-year-old man gets thrown off a fucking, you know, ladder and stuff like that. So in every match, there was a redeeming thing you remember.
A little highlight.
The Undertaker jumping over a fucking rope, and, you know, and jumping over a coffin as well.
Yeah.
Nothing happened in this match apart from some competent wrestling.
Triple H is going through a period here where he's begun watching a lot of, like, Harley Race DVDs, and he's become that thing of he's very much like I am our generation's Harley Race,
right?
And whereas the entertainment happens in, you know, the early matches, let's have a proper main event here, and it will be a hard fought, you know, build and build and build. And the problem is, he could never quite do it. It was just boring, I don't know. He's so good in the right place, but in this period, he's doing very bloated booking, and I think he's obviously, you know, the time is the big thing. These matches could have been great if they were 16 minutes, but he has to make them 24, you know, and it's just too long. People don't care enough. You get a funny little bit of trivia as well at the start. They have, like with Rey Mysterio coming out brilliantly and then having to go and do a costume, you know, when they're playing. With the John Cena entrance here, a gangster car comes in because they're in Chicago with a load of gangsters on the side, and they basically lift the ramp, the car comes out, it's fucking spectacular. They all come around the ring with guns, and then they basically cut back and John Cena just walks out. It's like, why wasn't he in the
why
car?
Why was the car? Yeah.
What are the, why is an entrance? You go, yeah, the entrance will happen, yeah, and then once it's over, that's when you come in. Doesn't work.
JBL had a car.
Yeah, he got out of his car.
Why can't he get out of the car?
And then wrestled a multiple murderer. You know, John Cena, you know, just appears and he's got this, I mean, he's got a gangster's hat on, but he's got a big black coat that looks like a student coat. And because he's got his jorts on, he's got bare legs.
Yeah.
So he looks like, you know, like when you go to a hotel and the fire alarm goes off at 3 a.m. and the people have just put over their big coats.
What they've got, yeah.
Yeah, and he also, there's a sort of weird sexual thing where he's sort of going, has he got nothing on underneath? And then he opens it and he's got a gun, you know, that sort of thing, which, again, I don't like to see. I don't like to sort of see people.
Not a public.
When we were at WrestleMania 25, we saw a guy taking a assault rifle out of his car, just in a car park.
You don't want to see him getting
loaded.
We were
just walking through that thing and you just sort of, as a British person, your alarm bells just fucking flip out.
It was in Texas, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I remember, I love Texas, but like, you go into a shop and there's a woman with a fucking gun. I'm like, is that real? I'm pissed. Is that a real gun? She went, you're in Texas, son.
Yeah. Like, just watching him pick it out and just going, when do I run? Because he is just
a man with a gun.
If you came back and you went, there's a man in the gun at the centre, here, that means terrible. It doesn't mean he's taking his gun somewhere. It means, you know, he's going to kill everyone.
Put it in a bag.
I saw that.
Put it in a carrier bag.
Exactly. And I do think that funny thing about John Cena being that the child's kiddie's favourite.
Yeah.
I don't think they do that now. I don't think they'd have him come out with a gun. No, I think there'd be too many people going, I think that's a very bad example. But the two of the gangsters had a loaded
AK-47. He's got a bump stock on there. It wouldn't even fit that kind of model of gun.
This is John Cena standing up for everybody's right. Two of the wrestlers on the car, they used their developmental talent. Right. And two of the wrestlers, this is the WrestleMania debut of The Miz, Mike Mizanin, and CM Punk, who is one of the gangsters on the car.
Hang on, so I didn't even spot that.
Oh, someone's going to have to go and have a rewatch.
We'll have to have a rewatch.
CM Punk is one of the guys. He actually does quite a good job, but you can see in his eye, he is like, I shouldn't be doing this.
Well, who was the bloke who drove the car for the Honky Tonk Man?
Diamond Dallas Page was more than happy to do that. Just, he loved the business. He drove it from his house, I think, in Florida to Toronto. And then they didn't pay him. And then they all laughed at the fact he hadn't asked for money. What a mark. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Oh, nice boy, Mark. Big Mark. This is also the first WrestleMania not to feature the winner of the Royal Rumble in the final match.
Is that right?
Yeah, because, I mean, naturally, you'd send everyone out on the high of Eddie Guerrero Memorial win by Rey Mysterio Jr. beating the odds.
Yeah.
But you're not the son-in-law of the champ. So we get John Cena and Triple H. At the time, people loved that match and they had a big hot rivalry. Mm. So it didn't seem quite, you know, out of place. But you do look at it now a little bit and you sort of go, there's some selfish fucking stuff around that Rey Mysterio match.
Yeah.
You know, taking time out of it, Vince McMahon. There's one thing I forgot to say
The come in the fucking chair, the chair that Triple H comes up in, that takes about 5 minutes.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Really wonky.
You must be, as Rey Mysterio, you'd be standing there going, that was the most important moment of my life.
Yeah.
We had to rush through it. Thanks a lot, guys. Mm. And then you're watching Triple H come out dressed as Conan, walking slowly. And you know there's a car and it's just, you just go... Would have been nice to... it's called WrestleMania, isn't it, lads? It's not meaningless fucking spectacle mania. there's a bit I thought it was a bit...
And then remembers Vincent Mann's bum.
There's one bit I loved, which you just never see, which is in the Edge McFoley match, I think when they show the replay of them diving through the flaming table,
yeah.
There's a guy in the front row who is wearing a kippah, a couple, a Jewish head sort of covering. And... he is just punching the air at how exciting it is.
Yes.
And I thought, it's funny, you don't sort of see, like, really observant Jewish people at the wrestling cheering hardcore.
No.
And I just thought, let's change that, right? If this podcast leaves any big sort of major legacy, let it be this, that from
Yarmulke
now on...
up, guys.
Yeah, and now on, all Orthodox Jews must go and enjoy wrestling. This is my big thing.
Oh, they'd do something with it, though. They'd ruin it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's absolutely a hornet's nest of problems, I think. That's the thing. I got to meet a wrestler when we were doing the podcast festival.
What?
Yes, and he was absolutely delightful. And I think he is actually the first wrestler I've met since we probably met Stone Cold Steve Austin. He may have been the last one.
Yeah.
I don't know. But he is Eddie Dennis, who is a Welshman, who is part of NXT UK.
Cool.
And he's currently the Progress Wrestling Champion. And he was, it's funny, he was everything that you hope a wrestler will be.
Right.
And everything that you worry they won't be. Where he's just, he was actually once, I believe, a deputy headmaster. But, you know, you just couldn't meet a nicer, friendlier, warmer, more engaging bloke.
Mm.
And I just wanted to say, Eddie, it was delightful to meet you.
Was this, so he was doing something else on the day, was he?
Yeah, there was a show that a lot of the guys were doing before us.
Right.
In the, was it the same building? I think it was the same building, yeah. I mean, earlier in the day, I don't want to let people think that we aren't very much the main event.
The main event.
We're very much the Triple H of podcasts, aren't we? I mean, I'm sure their show is a lot better than ours, but we absolutely demand the London Podcast Festival. We do need to go on last, and it helps because my father-in-law runs the London Podcast Festival. My father-in-law doesn't. He's a retired solicitor.
I was watching last night. I was at work, and I just glanced up, and they've started putting AEW on the telly.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed this.
At the only time that I'm up late.
Yeah.
I mean, why is it on so late?
It's on late because they're trying to get it out as quickly as possible after the American screening.
Okay.
So they're not doing it live for live, which has seen a lot of internal anger from the British wrestling community about why it isn't possible to do that. Oddly, it's come down to Ofcom because there are too many ad breaks in American TV.
Oh, they'd couldn't
put our own ads in, and it would mean that ITV, because we can't put in, say, whatever it is, 25 minutes of ads, we can only do 15.
Right.
ITV said, we don't want to leave black bits of screen for 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, but could they not
it looks
just...
like it's telly's over.
Well, telly's over, guys.
You can just play a cartoon. Play a droopy dog.
Just run some in-house ads and some promos for forthcoming shows.
But they've had massive problems with even getting it up a day later. They've been running into all technical issues and things. So, but do you know what? It's a very, very exciting time for wrestling.
Put a bit of WrestleMe on. Little Science says... stick some WrestleMania on, guys.
Look, I would never, ever agree to have anything I do on ITV, Pete. I am not that desperate.
Speaking as the ex-voice of ITV2, like to distance myself from that because I would very much like that job back because they're so disorganised over there. They used to book me twice in a day sometimes because they'd forget to get me to say literally three words.
That's
it
great.
Was... good eating! You know when you were running down the SummerSlam 93, 92, like how much you haven't got paid?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good job! I'm still renting, but oh, I could have bought an house! Oh! Beautiful.
I'd like
bought the stamp duty on the house. what's like a good amount of money?
And you're talking houses in London. God, he's lost his common touch. I tell you, if you were going to...
I lost my ITV2 job.
If you went to see the football ramble at High Wycombe, ask for your money back because they don't need it.
Diamond Dallas Donaldson.
Yeah. I ITV have have had a long history of showing the wrestling, obviously with World of Sport back in the day, and they brought over NWA and WCW to show that, but they've never ever paid any attention really to it. They treat it very badly. Even the recent World of Sport, they just move it around in the schedule, and if you move shows around, they can't build up an audience. Mm. And so hopefully it will change with AEW. But this is a really exciting time. It's the Wednesday Night Wars. Mm. And at the moment, AEW, because of the platforms it's on, are certainly doing better than the things it's going head-to-head against, which is NXT.
I just saw the Young Bucks. I was like, I've seen them.
Yeah.
Seen them live.
Yeah, but it's an exciting time. It's an exciting time. Yeah. I think it's also going to be interesting to see what happens with Ring of Honor, who are have been traditionally the second by a long way brand in the States. And I should think that they are not best pleased. Mm. They very kindly invited us to go and see them at York Hall. But it's coming up too quickly and neither of us have responded. In fact, by the time this is out, it's over.
Oh, crumbs.
So this is our official apology. to the guys.
I bought tickets to a Camden-based event, I think.
Progress. Yeah.
And I realised I was working on the day.
Well, no.
Because I'm a fucking idiot. So
well, no, it's heartbreaking.
I'm an idiot.
I'm going with Men of Honour, who is our WhatsApp group who talk about wrestling. biggest update today, naturally, was The Undertaker eating alone in Nando's.
Yes! I want to know his order. I want to know what he eats. I wonder if he goes for a steak, prig or roll.
In fairness, someone has already answered that on the Twitter, and they were far funnier than we'd ever be.
What did he get?
Breast in peace.
Come on.
I'll give you a shout on Twitter. That was bangingly good.
Sweet as a nut.
So that's WrestleMania 22. Big time!
Yeah, I enjoyed this one. It had enough to keep me... It had Vincent Mann's bum.
It did,
that's all we need.
And a bit of kissing.
Trouble times.
A bit where a beautiful lady has a dog's bum put on her face.
Exactly.
So we're going to be back next time. I think...
Don't write checks yet. Dallas Ascan cash.
I'm not sure what we're going to be doing next week. I think it's either going to be ECW One Night Stand 2006, because it's...
Maybe.
You've seen the first one and it was good fun. And
which one was that one? I'm losing.
That's the one where JBL beat up the Blue Meanie.
Oh, yeah.
And they had lots of matches in a Hammerstein ballroom.
Yeah. Nice.
So I think we might do that one. And then it will be WrestleMania 23, which is Donald Trump's big WrestleMania.
Yes.
Yes.
Lovely old job. Well, hopefully you'll have been well and truly impeached by that point. And it will be less than relevant, but I'll be happy.
Yes. And, of course, don't forget, by the time we speak to you as well, it might be Brexit. So, unfortunately, because of some of the podcasting things, if you're listening to this outside Britain, you do need to send Pete and I a cheque for £15.50.
Yes.
Okay, so just make that courtesy. Do it. Pete Donaldson, Absolute Radio, is probably the best way to do it.
Yeah.
If you don't want to break into a note, I'm afraid you have to go up, not down. Thank you.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.